Let's open our Bibles this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at, I'm going to start like a mini-series, if you were, on leadership, the basics of leadership. As I look out, I see a lot of our church leaders here, right? Right? So let's talk about leadership. All righty. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's just read one verse. Verse 1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Isn't that leadership? Isn't that godly leadership? Paul the Apostle is taking his cues from Christ himself. And he said, basically, the King James Version, follow me as I follow Christ. How does the NIV read? Is it about the same? There you go. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So that really is leadership. So can we try, can somebody help me teach this? How would we define leadership? How about in two words? Inspiring influence. Isn't that really a leader? Someone that inspires you? Can you think of people in your life that inspire you? I can think of a lot of them. I have men in my life that have inspired me by their knowledge, the depth of their understanding of God's word. They've inspired me to be a better teacher. They really have. I'm just like in awe. And, you know, pretty soon you start getting addicted to the Word of God. That is a very healthy addiction, I might add. That's one that we want to have, where we draw the nourishment from the spiritual nutrients from God's Word. So other people have influenced us by their example, by their traits, right? Sometimes we don't, the leaders aren't always aware of the people they are influencing. But the people that are looking up to the leaders are being influenced, right? Somehow, somebody inspired us. That's the key word of leadership. Somebody inspired us to greatness. Somebody inspired us to serve. Somebody inspired us to pray. Somebody inspired us to lead in worship. And if we can just reduce leadership to one word, it would be influence. Influence, that's all. So then, I want to give you guys a statement tonight that is ever so true. Bill Hybels quote, the hope of the world is the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you agree with me? Because aren't we Christ's representation on earth? Right? The hope of the world is found in the church of Jesus Christ. And the future of the Church of Jesus Christ is in the hands of its leaders. Right? So how important then is leadership? Especially spiritual leadership, especially godly leadership. Right? Very important. Everything rises or falls on leadership. In corporations, right? In companies. I remember when Chipotle went through, when there were several stores regional-wide across the country that they had to shut down because people were getting food poisoning. Remember that back, what, 6 years ago or something like that? And I remember the interview that Matt Lauer on NBC, the Today Show, was interviewing the CEO of Chipotle, and you could tell that young man was panicking. He said, well, we have to accept responsibility. We have to do something quickly. We have to, you know, and he was talking about all the measures, new measures they were implementing in Chipotle to ensure that the people that were patronizing them or patronizing them would feel safe about their food. In fact, I used to go to Chipotle on occasion, and when that real thing hit, when it hit the fan, those restaurants were empty. There was not a line. Now, when they righted the ship and everything was fine, then you could see long lines of people standing in line to order their burritos or their salads or whatever, right? So it all depended, the future of that corporation depended on its leadership, right? Now, what about, you know, Bobby Bowden, great legendary football coach, passed on today, I believe this morning. And he was a Christian man. He's in heaven with Jesus now, praise God. But he led the Florida State Seminoles to many national championships or many national championship appearances. And, you know, he will be missed. But that team was great because its leaders were great. You see that? So everything rises or falls on the level of leadership. Okay? Now, we're talking in some measure secular leadership. You want to know something that's even harder for Christian leaders? Is that, you know, when you're, how many of us know that when you're the boss, a manager at a company, what is your leverage to get your people, your employees, to do what they're supposed to do? What is your leverage? What's that? Set the example. But if they're not doing what you expect them to do, if they're not following policies, procedures, and protocols, then you have that what card up your sleeve? You're out the door. Right? They have that leverage. Now, what about a coach in a football team? Let's say that there's a disgruntled player not liking the way the coach is handling the plays that are being called out to the players. If a player doesn't get along with the coach, and if he is being a constant detriment to the team by his attitude and by his actions, then the coach can do what? Bench him, or you're off the team. Right? That's his leverage. You know why being a Christian leader in a church or a Christian establishment is harder? When you have, how many of us know that in church life, volunteers are your base of doing the work? So what is your leverage? What are you going to tell them? You're fired? They'll say, arrivederci, I'll just kiss you off. I don't need this. You can't bench them. You can't fire them. Come on, somebody. And you can't threaten them. Well, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. They'll tell you where you can go. As Christian leaders, we lead by example. That and that alone is our leverage. Not a threat. Not, I'm going to cut you off the team. Not this, not that. Now, there have been times in church life where I have had to ask some people to step down. It was unpleasant because they were then going contrary to the vision of the church. They were impeding people from coming to Christ. I remember one time this gal called me on the phone. She was, you know, I was relatively new to the church. This would have been the early 2000s, probably 2002. She said, can you stop by my house? And I normally don't do that. So I asked my wife if she was cool with that. She said, yeah, you're fine. So I stopped by the gal's house and she said, you know, Pastor, I'm a practicing homosexual. And I said, okay. I didn't show shock. I didn't, you know, I said, first thing out of my mouth was, you know, God loves you. And she said, and I feel horribly guilty. And so I started talking to her that it would be good for her to come clean, repent, you know, just ask the Lord and cut off that relationship. And she said, well, I'm not going to cut it off. And I said, okay, well, then I'm going to ask you as of today, effective today, you're no longer over our children's department. Now, that's when you have to exercise tough love. Because at that point, she's not serving the kingdom. Right? Or let's say somebody said, you know, oh, hey, I'm having an affair with my wife. Or not with my wife. Well, that's what you want to have. Sorry. That's what you and I have, right, babe? Okay, so what was my point in all that?
Lost.
Lost. Saying that it's not right to have an affair.
Right, okay. Yes. So if somebody came to me and said, Pastor, I'm having an affair, but I still want to be in charge of the men's group. No. You are not qualified to spiritually lead. Right? And I think that that's where the Bible says you can disqualify yourself. Listen to me carefully, church family. The Bible teaches that we can disqualify ourselves from leadership positions, but we don't disqualify ourselves permanently from ministry. If that was the case, then Peter should have never been a pastor. Peter should have never been entrusted with the Word of God. He denied the Lord three times. So these little doctrines that float around in the body of Christ that, you know, once you've been divorced, you are disqualified. Really? Show me in the Word. Well, he must be the husband of one wife. You know what that's talking about? That's just talking about that he must not be a polygamist. Right? People get these wacky ideas. So leadership is intensive. The most intensive form of leadership is church leadership. Right? Because you're not... the leverage you have is the example you set. Right? And can I take that a step further? You know, the Lord often called me and my ex to churches that were dry spiritually, dry. And we came in, you know, with the Word of God. I didn't come with flattering lips. I didn't come with promises of grandeur. We just came in and rolled up our sleeves and taught the Word of God. And before the Lord called us out, those people had a passion for God's Word. Because the qualities of the leader will rub off on the people that leadership is influencing, right? So, like begets like in leadership. But we have to be aware, church family, that in godly leadership, we lead by example. We don't lead by word. It's gotten very quiet, right? Because what if I say, you know, well, hey guys, I believe that the Lord's leading us in this, and I feel that we can do this, but I never participate in what needs to be done at the church, then am I really a leader? You know, looking back, I've sustained many a joke that the preacher, when they see me carrying boxes or helping around the church, oh, take a photo. He's working. But there were times, listen carefully, to my regret that I had opportunities to further influence by simply, like, I remember when we were in the Effingham church, the church decided to have the walls painted, kind of updated to make them look a little more modern looking. And all the men showed up and they were like, hey, Joe, are you going to show up? And I'm like, nah. I was young. I was like, nah, I'm going to skip out on that. I've got other stuff. And I did have other stuff to do, but I should have shown up to have further shown that I was not too good for the painting that needed to be done, that these willing souls were taking valuable time and they were not getting paid for, that I should have showed up and been with them. So I missed many opportunities on being a better leader. I have regrets as a leader. But you live and learn. You live and learn. So we have to do... I cannot expect my church to do something that I'm not doing. Right? When I mean my church, it's Christ's church. But you realize I'm the appointed servant in this house. I cannot expect you guys doing something that I'm not willing to do myself. That is not leadership. I don't lead by talk. Okay, so let's create a diagram here. This is the conception. A lot of people have this idea that the leader is at the top of all these people. That's what I used to think a leader was, that people just looked at you and they thought, oh, you're great. I'm going to do what you do or say because what you're saying is so great. You know what I realize now? That leadership is more like this. The leader is the servant and he serves as a leader. Right? There's that little cartoon that has this one. There's what a tyrant is versus what a leader is. And the tyrant's the one cracking the whip. And there were slaves in front pulling the cart that the tyrant was sitting on. So he's cracking the whip. That's not leadership. That's tyranny. And the other one is the leader is down with the people pulling the cart with him. That's leadership. Or he's at the front leading the way, pulling the cart with the people. That's leadership. If I'm not leading by example, do I have a right to talk about it? If I'm not leading by example, do I have a right to exhort people about it? No. Leadership is vital. Okay. So, I'm going to end with a quote. How many of us know that a title does not make us leaders? Yet, do you realize that how many church denominations are big on titles? This is prophet so-and-so. This is pastor so-and-so. This is evangelist so-and-so. This is this so-and-so. And, excuse me, they thrive on that. They even have gone to the point of, well, I'm Sunday school teacher so-and-so. I have that title. A title doesn't make you a leader. Let me go further with that. A position doesn't give you make you a leader. A position will buy you time. That's all it does. To show if you have the mettle to lead in a godly way. Right? You know, in my position here as a pastor, the question is, am I leading the right way? Am I leading the way I need to be leading? Am I living the life? Am I living upright before the Lord? Am I loving? If I'm going to expect us to be loving towards the outsiders, am I loving towards the outsiders? That's a start. We'll continue next week. All right, let's pray and close this up. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Father, for helping us to understand leadership in a practical way, Lord. What that means to all of us as we are all here in some capacity, leaders, either council, over certain ministries of Locust Grove, Father, whatever the case, help us to lead to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.